chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. Always remember to exalt your God. Exalt your God, people, no matter what. No matter what's going on, exalt your God. You know that song, "We Exalt Thee, We Exalt Thee"? Just exalt your God, no matter what's going on. Because honestly, some things we can't change. You know, hey, there's some things in the world, and a lot of things in the world, a lot of things even within ourselves. We can't change us. If we could change ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus. Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die on the cross. You know, we need him. And so we need to take the time to exalt him, to lift him up, to lift up our hands if you can, you know, and give him the praise and the honor that is due unto him. Because he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be praised. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, the book of Exodus is called Exodus. And there's a reason. It's because of the mass exodus that the Israelites took coming out of Egypt. I mean, they really, God open up the door for them, and through many miracles of the plagues and all kinds of stuff, and the death of the firstborn son, and the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, God just didn't bring the children of Egypt out of Israel just to take them out. God doesn't work that way. God just doesn't do whatever work in our hearts and lives just to do it. There's a reason for it. Number one is to get us to be, to resemble our God, to have the attributes of our God, to look like him, to resemble him, the Father. You know, as a, just a family, you know, you can tell certain people that come from certain families. Why? Because they look alike. You know, you could pass somebody down the road and you think, oh my, that's, you know, they have to be related to the Landrys, you know, or to the D'Arteses, or to the Marceaux, or to, you know, you just kind of, because of the look of their face, maybe how they walk, how they present themselves, the tone of their voice sometimes, how they look, you know, just whatever. And you may not even know that person, but they resemble that family. And maybe their last name may be one of those, maybe not. Maybe married into those families, however. But they resemble their God. And so we have to resemble our God. And here we see in Exodus where God comes in mightily. Mightily. He tells them that he's going to take them out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. And many miracles take place. And we know of the 10 plagues, and we can list them all. We know of how God, at the end, the firstborn son, that if they didn't have the blood over the doorposts of their homes, were killed. And that was towards anybody in that area, Egyptians, Israelites, whatever. But how God miraculously took them out of a land of bondage. Now, probably if we would have been in charge back then and God would have asked us, well, you know, how do you think I could take my people? He turns to us. Let's say he turns to us and like he needs our advice, but just to look at it that way. And he looks at, you know, he looks at us and he says, you know, Joe, how can I take my people out of the land of Egypt? I would not have told him the correct way to do it. Because I would have looked at it selfishly. Destroy the Egyptians. Just destroy them. I mean, let fire come from heaven and destroy every last one of them, from the youngest to the oldest, and just take your people out. You know? But God had a different plan and a different way of doing things. And we need to realize that also in the things that God does in our hearts and in our lives and in our ministries, God will do things in ways that He wants to do it for the best way possible. He knows the best way to bring your family and my family to salvation. He knows the best thing to do to drive them to their knees. He knows what to do. And so we have to have the mind of Christ. There's no way possible, and you need to get this. There's no way possible myself or you can have the mind of Christ if we're not praying to seek Christ or His Word, in His Word. There's no way I can think like Him spiritually from the inside or mentally if I don't get in the Word of God and I don't pray and seek God. There's no way possible. No way. But if I seek Him and honor Him and love Him and do what I know I can do, He can put His Word in me and tell me the things that need to be done to get the job done. People, He knows how to save your families. We don't. Let's face it. We can have dinner after dinner after dinner and try to get them here, and it won't work. Oh, they'll be full of food, but they won't. But they won't be full of God. Now, there's nothing. I love it. There's nothing wrong with cooking and stuff like that and trying to touch people. There's nothing wrong with it, but that won't do it. This is what we need. We need to get with God and know the mind of Christ, how to do it, what He wants us to do, then do what He tells us to do. But sometimes we happen opposite. We do what we want to do, then we attach prayer to it. And it does not work. It doesn't. So you see, God knew how to bring the children of Israel out of a land of bondage. He knows how to break the bondages in your life and in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit. He knows how to break those things. He knows what to do in your heart and life to give you a conquering spirit on the inside of you. And that conquering spirit comes from the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is on the inside of us. That Holy Spirit knows what to do. Knows how to give us victory in every area of our lives as we keep our faith in Christ and what He's done at Calvary's cross, people. That's the answer. And He wants to give us the answer to get it done. But here God took the children of Israel out of a land of bondage. God called His people out of Egypt on a long journey to the unknown future and to a strange land that He promised to them. Can you imagine? God just says, get up. It's time to go. Just time to go. Can you imagine? They saw the hands of God. I know we read over those 10 plagues like it's one plague. You know, we get to 10. But let me tell you, you stand back on the opposite side, on the Israelite side, and you look and see as the frogs came in, as the water was turned into blood, their faith was building. Their faith was building. Even though it got harder for them to do the work because the load was a little harder, got harder. Yet they saw God in a way that they never saw God. As He was doing, putting the pressure on the man that could release them. And it was going to be done. Let me tell you, God knows how to put the pressure on us. And he knows how to put the pressure on the people we're praying for. And let me tell you, is those hands that you can't see from the Holy Spirit that we have to worry about. Is those hands that we can't see that puts pressure on us, saying, change, go in this direction. Do what I tell you to do. Go this way. Help with this. The pressure. Can you imagine if you were Pharaoh at the time and the pressure of plague number 1, 2, 3, and then it got down to the last one, and he finally let them go? See, God's not going to settle for anything but all of us. All of us. Spirit, soul, body, mind, will, emotions, everything. He will not settle for half-hearted, a third, or a fourth. But he wants everything. And we know when the children of Israel came out, there were people with them that didn't really know God at all. I mean, that's just truth. I mean, there were even some Egyptians in there, intermingled people in there. But they believed what the Israelites had said about their God. And so you see here, God miraculously takes them out. And let me tell you, God wants to do miracles in our lives like we've never seen before. We got to allow him. We got to allow him to do it. And you might say, well, can I stop him? We can stop the move of, we can stop some things by our disobedience and not doing what God wants us to do. We can stop some, or hinder. Yes. Hinder is probably a better word. We can hinder some things. We got to get to the place where we allow God to do whatever he wants to do, people. Sometimes it may not be easy. A lot of times it may be hard. But let me tell you, it's not easy allowing God to do everything that he wants to do. But allowing him to clean us up, allowing him to give us victory, allowing him to move upon us like he's never moved upon us before, allowing the Holy Spirit to have his will in our hearts and in our lives. As the walls of Jericho came down, they knew probably kind of what would happen, but they didn't know everything that would happen. When those walls came down, you know, we know, you know this, it didn't tumble over. It just went down into the ground, people. That's an amazing thing. That's amazing. Because we serve an amazing God. I'll never forget years ago. Probably... I'm 51. I should have said 49. Not really. I didn't tell you the truth. I'm only 25. We're the same age. Okay. We all stay safe. We don't go over 25. That's the average age of our church when people, pastors ask 25. 25, yes, 25. That's all we go up to. We may have 225s or 325s, but don't worry about it. But I'll never forget, stamped upon my heart. I was in children's church, and I used to help with children's church at Faith Christian in Kaplan. And I remember after church, or after doing all that stuff in children's church, trying to work, and let me tell you, I had zero money. Zero. You know how you can't go back? I mean, that's probably about 30-something years ago. And I remember doing all that needed to be done and saying, Lord, how am I going to get to work tomorrow? I have no money for gas. Zero. And I know probably all of us have been in certain places where we had maybe zero money for gas, food, you know, just whatever. No money maybe to pay the electricity bill, or, you know, no money for this or that. And I mean, just zero. Not even able to go, you know, your ashtray or something, you know, in your car. They don't have ashtrays anymore in vehicles, huh? They don't have cigarette lighters anymore, ashtrays. That's amazing. But you know how, you know, you always find a little tray or something in your vehicle to put your coins in. There was not even a coin. Zero. And I remember, you know, saying, Lord, I don't know. And did children's church. I remember I had my Bible. And we got in the hallway and everybody was talking. We were kind of just talking, you know, ready to leave. And I remember somebody asked me about a scripture or something. And I remember I opened my Bible. And in the top part, like when you open the cover, was a $20 bill. It was like $1,000, though, back then. Now, let me tell you this. I always tithe. From the time I started working in ninth grade, I tithe. I never let that go. For some reason, I knew it was right. Now, you know, came from a church that we didn't do that. If you gave a quarter, that was pretty good. You know, you were in right standing. But we... But always tithe. From the ninth grade, when I started working, just doing odds and ends, always gave. And I remember as I closed, and I said, $20. And I still don't know to this day who gave it. Yeah. And Leonard, I didn't even know him back then. And Leonard's getting the credit. Leonard said, it's me. Well, you want it? Hey, look. I didn't even know it. Oh, he wasn't even saved then. I know, because I led him to salvation. Well, he was saved before, then he went away, then thank God he came back. Praise God. Praise God. Open that Bible, and it was $20, people. Look, that's the mighty God we serve. That's the God that can do mighty things, people. And I remember I took it and I said, Lord, thank you. Walked out of that place with my faith raised up more than ever before, saying, Lord, I know you are a mighty God. And people, probably each and every one of you could share stories where God has mightily come in, gave money, did things in your life, gave you direction, helped you that when you needed help. Let me tell you, when you've gone through some low times in your life as a Christian, what you need to do is start listing all the things that you remember that what God did for you. Start listening from 1 to 1,000. Number one, salvation. That's number one. And just list all the great things that God has done for you. And let me tell you, you won't be depressed anymore. Because you'll say, my God, what am I doing low right here today? Because how great is my God? How great is my God for all the things that he has done for me, which he does not have to. Starting with salvation, thank God that Jesus didn't have to come and die on that cross, but he came willingly. Just like God willingly gave direction to the Israelites and Moses to get them out of Egypt. That was God in his mercy and his grace. Praise be unto our God. We need to look at him as the great God Jehovah that deserves our praise, that deserves our worship, that deserves honor, and deserves to be exalted daily from his people. What's that scripture? Even at night, you had just shared with, I don't remember. Because she found it, I didn't see it. So I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Well, we're one, so I did it too. So, you know, okay. Where it just popped into my mind. Where he, even when we sleep, my God, that he takes care of. Let me get my glasses. Lord, have mercy. What is it? Psalms 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And this is the comment. It says, the argument of this verse is that God gives to his loved ones. Now, let me say it again. The argument of this verse is that God gives to his loved ones while asleep treasures that men toil for early and late in vain. You should have shouted. Amen. God gives unto us even when we're sleeping that other men are toiling for, trying to make throughout the day and all that time. Now, that doesn't mean we sleep 24/7, but when we sleep at night, that the Spirit of God is continually working on our behalf. Praise God. People, you need to shout about that. You need to write that scripture down. Psalms 127, verse 2. The argument of this verse is that God gives to his loved ones. We are his loved ones, huh? Thank God. Every one of us is the apple of his eye. We are his loved ones. While asleep, he gives to us treasures that men toil for early and late in vain. Thank you. While asleep, people, he gives unto us. How much should we exalt him? As we walk, we say, praise God, praise God, praise God. As they're toiling and doing all kinds of stuff, God's given to us as we sleep. We work throughout the day. We do what we should do. As Christians, we should work. We should work. Unless we have a disability. But we should work. You know, and housewives, that's working. All kinds of stuff. But we should work. But even when we go to bed around 9 or 10 o'clock, wherever time you go to bed, 6, 7, 8, whatever. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Can you imagine when I get in bed and I lay my head back, God is still working on my behalf. Look, people, God is still working on your behalf. Even as, look, you shout back there, amen, praise God. God is still working on our behalf. As we lay our heads back and we pull up those covers, and we say our prayers before we sleep, asking God to forgive us, do whatever. And we close our eyes and we're down for the night. That God in the heavens is still working on our behalf. Praise be unto our God this morning. He's working on your behalf. Even when you sleep. Praise God. Even as the Egyptians were coming at the Israelites. Go back to the other verse. Yeah. Thank you. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by the night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He took them out. And we know this. Pillow of fire by night and a pillow, a cloud by day. He wanted them to know he was with them. People, God wants us to know he's with us. The devil will try to get us alone. You know the old scenario of a pack of cattle, a pack of whatever animal you want. And the enemies out there, the wolves and stuff. And the bears, who do they go after? The one that's by itself. Huh? The one that's by itself. That's not with the fold. That's not with the pack. And that's what the devil does, people. It says that he comes in John 10:10, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come to give us life. And let me tell you, what he tries to do is pull Christians away from the church by themselves. By themselves. Now, you might say, well, you know, there's a perfect reason. And I know there's some churches, maybe there's a reason. But let me tell you, God still has set up the local church for the protection of his people and to give direction and help. And it's the cloud by day over the church body and the pillar of fire by night over the church body. And when we get beyond that is when we get in trouble. You're right. You got it, huh? We get in trouble. I get in trouble. Because we're saying, God, what you set up, I don't care. But what God sets up and what God puts into motion to be is where we need to be. Because there's protection from the evil one. There's help from God. There's the pillar of fire by night as we sleep that gives us direction and help. And a cloud by day that gives us the protection and the coolness of the day as we stand under the protection of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. That's the power of what He can and wants to do through the church body. Through the church body. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, people. They went. It's so amazing how God took care of those people. Even though there were some that could care less about Him. The enemy was coming, and we know this story. The enemy was coming after they left. And God told Moses, don't back up. Okay. It would have been easy for Moses to turn and say, let's go back to Egypt. Now, they probably would have been killed. They would have, or destroyed a lot of them. But with God, you never go backwards. Look at me. Look at me. In God, you never step back. Never. In God, you never step back. Because you will hit something that you don't want to hit. In God, you always go forward. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. And that's part of Exodus too, where it says, be still. Because if they would have retaliated and tried to go back into where they were, they would have been destroyed. But God says, be still. And Moses said, okay. And God fought that battle for them. And destroyed the enemy. All while protecting him, them, the Israelites. And as they crossed, Moses put out his rod. That sea opened up. And we know it was dry ground. What they had to do was what? Walk what? Forward. See, we can determine if we're going to stay on the let's put just east side, west side. Let's say they were going, no, it would have been north and south. I'm sorry. North and south. That sea opened up and all those people had a choice if they wanted to go on the other side. God wasn't pushing them from the back. God was leading them through the man called Moses. And they all had to walk or ride or whatever they had to get to that other side. People, we need to let God lead us to the other side of that river. It may be hard. It may look scary. Because let me tell you, those walls were high with water. And they knew their God because they saw with the 10 plagues of what God could do. They knew their God could hold it up, but still fear. See, we're moved by fear with what we see or what we think we might see. You know, you ever been walking somewhere at night or you had to go outside at night? You know, just your home. You go outside and, you know, you're doing well, but then you have to go at night and you're walking to go get your trash can to bring it to the road or do something and you hear paper or something rolling and you think, oh, Lord, what is it? During the day, it's nothing. You know, you see it, leaves kind of, or some grass gets caught on your leg and, man, you jump because you don't know if it's somebody coming after you, you know, you don't know if it's a bear in your yard or a raccoon or something, possum, you know. Those things happened. But you see, God gives us the light to keep going forward and not to turn back. The devil will want you to turn back because he wants you to lose your faith in God. But God wants us to keep going forward and not to look back. You might say, well, my family's not saved, or this is not going right, and this is not happening, and this, so what? So what? I say so what as your personal being, because I don't want to be light of anything with family or friends, because that's salvation on the line. But let me tell you, you take care of yourself spiritually, and you keep serving God, and you keep going to God, and you keep praying, and you keep seeking God, and you keep giving God your concerns, and you keep giving God your problems, and you will see God will have that pillow far over you at night as you sleep, and the cloud by day to keep you cool. And he will lead you and direct you, because the Holy Spirit is saying, look to me and not to anything. And let me tell you, as we look to him, he takes care of all this other stuff. He takes care of it all. Now, that doesn't mean God may not want you to pray about those things, but as you pray, you keep giving it to him. As you pray, you keep giving your children to him. As you pray, you keep giving your spouse to him. As you pray, you keep giving your church to him. As you pray, you keep giving your pastor to him. As you pray, you keep giving all those grandkids and all your friends and families, aunts and uncles and spouses to God. You keep praying, but you seek God, and you're saying, Lord, my relationship to you is of utmost, and I will make sure that I am right before you no matter what. Because let me tell you, we are accountable to God, and we will be accountable to him. As we stand before him in the things that he has given us, the truth that he has given us, and we will give an account, not for heaven or hell. That's not it, because we've made it. When we receive Christ as our Savior, that's not it. But there will be a judgment for us in the things that he entrusted with us. Did we do what he wanted us to do? Or did we hold back because family didn't come with us? Did we hold back because someone said something we were offended? Did we hold back because we didn't want to do what God wanted us to do because it was too hard? Did we hold back not knowing that every time God calls us into something, he has something for us that is much better than what we leave behind? The children of Israel had something better. When they crossed over to the other side, they had to walk or ride, whatever. They had to take steps to get there. And that army started coming. And we know as they got in the middle of that thing, the walls came crashing down. But let me tell you, when they got to the other side, Miriam and all these ladies got their tambourines and started thanking their God. Started thanking him. And look, they danced before God and made a noise, saying, God, you are the deliverer. And look, all this time that they're saying, God, you are our deliverer. You are the God that goes before us. They see the wreckage of all the chariots and the horses and people just floating all by, all kinds of stuff, because they're seeing the devastation of what God can do to our enemies. But they also saw the salvation of their God towards themselves. How God can deliver his people from illegal drugs. Or even legal drugs. Got to be careful. Because some of that stuff can be very harmful. Always pray. Always pray. God can deliver us from alcohol. God can deliver us from drugs. God can deliver us from all kinds of evil people. You might say, man, God has a lot of work to do. Yes, he does. But that's okay. That's in his business. That's his line of work. The blood of Jesus takes care of all those things. The blood of Jesus comes and wipes us clean. The blood of Jesus comes in and takes care of all the evil in our hearts and souls. That's the blood. That's the mercy. That's the grace of our God and Savior. That's him. We exalt our God because he's worthy to be exalted. He's worthy to be praised. And he's worthy to be honored. That's the kind of God we serve, that we can walk out of here renewed by the Spirit of God, saying, my God can do all things. There's nothing impossible with my God. All things. What I have to do is get in tune with all things that God wants from me. And as I get in tune with what God wants, it's all possible with Him. All I got to do is pray, seek His face, and walk in the will of our God. The children of Israel had to seek God, let God move, open the Red Sea, and they were on the other side. And yet we know they made some mistakes after that and all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you, He's a delivering God. He's a God that cares about you. We could walk out of here saying, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory as I give my first to Him continuously. First in our lives, first in our finances, first in